6 times. Go study it out. Pull up your concordance, your word search. 6 times it says that Caleb followed God fully. 6 times. Yo, if God says something once about somebody, that should be good enough. But if he said it 6 times, it seems like he's trying to get a message.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of I Want This Mountain, Part 1. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of I Want This Mountain, Part 1.
I want to ask that you would open in your Bibles this morning to the book of Joshua, chapter 14. Joshua, chapter 14. And as you can see, by popular request, people wanted the notes back. So, when you look at how long they are, you might say, well, maybe we didn't need to get them. All right. Joshua chapter 14. And we're going to start here and kind of move between two passages. And in this, we are going to do a character study this morning. And the character that we're going to study is a man by the name of Caleb. But here we see Caleb speaking in Joshua chapter 14. And in verse 12, Caleb says, "Now therefore, give me this mountain." Give me this mountain. And the title of my message this morning is, I Want That Mountain. I Want That Mountain. And we subtitled the message, How to Reach Your Goals. At the age of 85, Caleb goes to Joshua and he tells him he wants the mountain where he stood 45 years earlier and spied out the land of Canaan. The mountain to Caleb represented a goal in life that had not been accomplished. He was determined to not go to his grave with unfinished business. As long as he had breath and strength in his body, he would strive to reach the goal. I want that mountain. The mountain. I have a picture before you of Mount Everest. And Mount Everest is the highest mountain in the world. There are some others that will challenge that, but according to geographical statistics, Mount Everest is the tallest mountain in the world. And it is a challenge, and many that start on that journey end up turning around and coming back, and some that start don't make it. Joshua looked at his mountain, the mountain that God had given him. The mountain, as I said earlier, represented a goal in life. The mountain represented something that God had for Joshua to do. What is it, saints? What is it that God has called you to do that you have not accomplished? Maybe it's something that he called you to do years ago, and the task has been left unfinished. Maybe it's a new challenge that God is placing before you today, and you have to rise up to the occasion. Oh, let me tell you this morning. I'm here to announce on January 2nd, 2011, my brothers and sisters, that age is not an excuse. Age is not an excuse. Joshua, at 85 years of age, was talking about this goal that he had not attained in his lifetime. The first appearance that we have of Caleb is at Kadesh Barnea. And we see, if you'll turn to Numbers chapter 13, we see that he is selected as one of the 12 spies to go and survey the land of Canaan. It says in chapter 13 and verse 1, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, all those men that were heads of the children of Israel. And we see in verse 6, and of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. And so Caleb was a leader in the tribe. It says here that he was to pick out a ruler from every tribe or a person that had influence. And Caleb was one that had influence. And so these 12 spies, they go out and they spy the land. And we see that after they came back from their 40-day reconnaissance mission, that they brought back a report. And the report was a positive report. Look at verse 26. After 40 days of spying out the land, and they went and they came to Moses in verse 26 and to Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and they brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land that you sent us to, and surely it is a land of flowing with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. And they brought back fruit from the land, and they said, this is a great land. Boy, we went there. We have tasted the promised land. We have seen the fruit. We have brought back some examples. Man, this place is busting out with fruit. And they were excited about what God had for them. They were excited about this land of opportunity. They were excited about this land of abundance. And God maybe has laid something before you. It's a fruitful vision. It's an abundant vision. It's a prosperous vision. And I just want to say that if you're sitting here today and you're not moved and there's not anything that's on your plate, man, before this service is over today, I pray that God would begin to move in your spirit, that you would do something good for him. How can we sit here and not have anything in our spirit that we don't want to accomplish for God? Man, I tell you, I got so much in my spirit that I want to do for God. I mean, I could just, right now, I could just run off about 5 things that I want to do for God. I just want to jump in there, and I just want to start doing them. And I know that it's a process. I know that it's going to take some time, but I have some things that's burning in my spirit. I have some things that Jeremiah said is like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I pray to God that the members of Bethany Baptist Church would have a fire in their soul about something this morning. Maybe it might be a fire about ministry. Maybe it might be a fire about something in your family. Maybe it might be a fire about some educational goals that you want to accomplish. But my brothers and sisters, how can we sit here and not have fire in our soul for something? There's a problem somewhere. If we as God's people, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, guided and directed by God, can sit and not have any passion, not have anything stirring in our souls. And so God had laid before them the promised land. He had let them go in and see what it was all about. However, despite the positive report, we see that there were some that brought back a report of fear. In verse 28, it says, nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Anak were the Anakim were the giants. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the land. And the Canaanites by the sea and by the edge of the Jordan. And so these folk begin to focus on their fears. They begin to focus on the things that that holds them back from accomplishing what it is that God wanted them to do. How can you go? How can you stand in the promised land? How can you bring back fruit from the promised land and have a report of fear and let something come between you and your destiny, to let something come between you and your goal? But Joshua and Caleb, they steeled the people and they said, yes, there are giants in the land. Yes, the cities are walled and fortified. But that's just an opportunity for our God to rise to the occasion. That's just an opportunity for our God to stand up and show off his stuff. That's just an opportunity for us to hold on to the hand of God and do what it is that God would have us to do. Look what Caleb says in verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people. Shh, 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 shh. Cut this foolishness out. Let's quiet down. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. And he said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. We are well able to overcome it. What armies, what guns, what knives, what weapons, what swords, what chariots, what horses, weapons? We don't need any stinking weapons. We got a God who is able to go with us into the land and to give us the victory. He stilled the people. He said, we are well able. We don't need all this stuff. We are well able. We are well equipped to do what it is that God has called us to do. Oh, I love the poem that says, somebody said it couldn't be done. But he, with a chuckle, replied that he wouldn't be one who would say so until he tried. So he buckled right in with a bit of a grin. If he worried, he hid it. He started to sing as he tackled the thing that could not be done, and he did it. Somebody scoffed, oh, you'll never do that. At least no one has ever done it. So he took off his coat and he took off his hat, and the first thing we knew, he'd begun it. With the lift of his chin and a bit of a grin, without any doubting or quit it, he started to sing as he tackled the thing that could not be done, and he did it. There are thousands to tell you it cannot be done. There are thousands to prophesy failure. There are thousands to point out to you one by one the dangers that wait to assail you. But just buckle right in with a bit of a grin. Just take off your coat and go to it. Just start to sing as you tackle the thing that cannot be done, and you'll do it. Somebody said it couldn't be done. That's it. You know, if somebody tells you as a child of God that it can't be done, that should, you should say, what's that state? Missouri, is that the show me state? You should say, look, I'm from Missouri, man. You got to show me that it can't be done. Caleb says, you got to show me. But we see that the people, they rejected the minority report, and they went with the majority report. The majority report said, we can't take it. The minority report said, let's go up and let's take it. Look at Numbers 14 and verse 10. It says, but all the congregation demanded to stone them with stones. So here they said, first of all, since we're in a Baptist church, I make a motion. And the motion that I make is, first of all, that we accept the report of the majority and not go up. And there were many amens and affirmatives to that. And then in the midst of it, they said, well, since we got this motion on the table, let's put a rider on it. And the rider is, let's stone these other two crazy. Let's stone them. And there was many seconds, and there was many affirmations to that motion. But we see, thank God, that God shows up. And God shows up in verse 10. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the people of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be before they believe me for all the signs which I have shown them? I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and will make thee a greater nation and mightier than they." And so God comes and God rebukes the individuals for rejecting the report. But the thing that God does is that God acknowledges his faithful servant, Caleb. We're looking at Caleb. We're talking about Caleb this morning. God acknowledges Caleb, and he acknowledges two things about Caleb. First of all, in chapter 14 and verse 24, he says, "But my servant Caleb, because he have another spirit." The first thing that God said is that he had another spirit. Now, where are you at? Are you with the spirit of the group, or are you with the spirit of God? See, if you're with the spirit of the group, then you look at the obstacles and you look at the things that cause you fear. But if you're with the spirit of God, you have another spirit in you. The spirit that these folk had in them was complaining, was looking at their goals and seeing that there were obstacles in the way, seeing the walled city, seeing the giant, complaining, wanting to go back to Egypt, complaining about the manna, complaining about the food, complaining about no water, complaining about this. But Caleb had another spirit in him. And so did Joshua. And, you know, this is a good lesson right here. You know, sometimes you got to watch out who you hang out with. And I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. But you show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. If you're hanging out with people with another spirit in them, with the spirit of the world in them, then that's exactly where that's going to take you. Joshua and Caleb hung out together, and they challenged each other. And they came back and they tried to encourage the people. But so the first thing he says is that he had another spirit in him. He had a spirit of faith and not fear. And the second thing God says, "And hath followed me fully." He has another spirit, and he has followed me fully. I went back and I began to read. Because you know what? Russell, can you give me my handkerchief? Thank you, brother. Six times. Go study it out. Pull up your concordance, your word search. Six times it says that Caleb followed God fully. Six times. You know, if God says something once about somebody, that should be good enough. But if he said it six times, it seems like he's trying to get a message across. You know what the word "follow fully" means? It means that Caleb got behind God, and every step that God took, Caleb took. When God stopped, Caleb stopped. When God went to the left, Caleb went to the left. When God went to the right, Caleb went to the right. When God proceeded ahead, Caleb proceeded ahead. You know, we have an expression that says, "got in their hip pocket." Caleb got in God's hip pocket and followed God wherever he went. Now, let me put it in football terms. We have what's called a pulling guard. And some of you will know what that is. That's where the guys on the offensive line, that they line up and then they block the defense, right? But sometimes a guard will pull off of the line and go around the outside. And why is he pulling off the line and going around the outside? Because there's a play that's going to the outside. So if I'm a lineman across from that pulling guard, what we used to tell the players to do is just get on his hip. Why? Because he'll take you right to where the ball is going. And so when that guard pulled, you would get right on his hip and you would follow him full speed wherever he went. And the Bible said that's what Caleb did. Caleb got on God's hip. And wherever God went, Caleb was right behind him. If God said go up, Caleb went up. If God said come down, Caleb would come down. Wherever God went, Caleb went. Give us some Calebs. give us some Calebs that will get on God's hip pocket. Give us some Calebs that will follow that pulling guard, because it's going to take you to right where all the action is at. See, the problem is that many of the guard done pull, and we still sitting there waiting to see what's going to happen. The play is already gone. It's already moved ahead, and you still waiting to see what's going to happen. He done already showed you where it's going to go. And so the Bible says that God said he had another spirit, and that he fully followed God. And as a result of that, for his testimony, God blessed Caleb with two things. The first thing he said is that Caleb would see the promised land. He says in verse 24, "But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him and followed me fully, I will bring him unto the land." And the second thing that God blessed Caleb with is that, with the exception of Caleb and Joshua, everybody over the age of 20 dropped dead in the wilderness. Every last one of them dropped dead in the wilderness except two. Look at verse 29. It says in verse 28, "And I say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so shall I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all who were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, who have murmured against me, doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I spoke unto you to dwell therein, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun." He was rewarded two ways. He would see the promised land, and he would outlive everybody else that was over the age of 20. Well, let's fast forward the scene 45 years. 45 years later, we see Caleb in the promised land. And as he is here, now you know what, I never saw, this blows my mind. This blows my mind. Look at Joshua chapter 14. And verse 6, it says here, "Then the children of Judah came to Joshua." Now, this is after they have started in the promised land. 40 years they've been in the wilderness. Now they're entering into the promised land. And the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and look at this, the Kenizzite. Wait a minute. Isn't there 12 tribes in Israel? I can think of the 12. And nowhere in there does it say that one of the tribes was the tribe of Kenizzite. Not one place. You know what this tells us? This brother was not even a Hebrew. He was not even of Jewish descent. He was one of these guys, like a lot of others, that kind of tagged along. And yet and still, he rose, even though he was not a natural born Hebrew, he rose to a rank of leadership because of the spirit that's within him. And so you've got 10 guys from the other tribes, and I'm going to take it that those guys, because Joshua was from Hebrew descent. He was from the tribe of Judah, I believe. And the other guys were from the tribe of Israel. But here you have one man that wasn't even an Israelite.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of I Want This Mountain, Part 1. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, I Want This Mountain, Part 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request I Want This Mountain, Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request I Want This Mountain, Part 1. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.